Chapter 50. Verdmeister Nefdada sat beneath an oak at the mouth of Quarig's Pass, awaiting his spy. He hadn't brought any of the 200 Verdmeisters he'd gathered to the meeting. If his spy was caught, he didn't want her to be able to tell the Chantry anything useful. Of course, the catatonic Tensor Ursul and Kali had traveled with him, and he kept them close, but hidden. Eris Buell arrived at moonrise. She was not an attractive woman. Her eyes were close-set, her nose long, and her chin weak. She looked rather like a rat in makeup. Too much makeup at that. And she had moles. Everywhere. Gareth Ursul had long let it be known that his female progeny were worthless to him, except as killing practice for the Ethlings. It was half true. Most of the girls served to weed out boys too weak to murder their own sisters. But Gareth sent witch-born girls away at birth. Few became as valuable as Eris Buell. Years ago, Gareth learned that Eris had roused the Speaker's suspicions. Rather than lose her, Gareth had shipped her off to Alatera, and arranged her marriage to a nobleman. Eris had then caught the crest of a rising tide of resentment among the chattel, the former Magi who'd left the Chantry to marry. She was now poised to head that movement back to the Chantry, demanding recognition. Eris might even overthrow the Speaker.
"Eris,"
Neff said, dipping his head.
"Verdmeister."
Eris liked to think too highly of herself, but she could obviously feel the nearness of Kali. That was enough to put anyone off balance.
"I have a task for you," Neff said. "One of our spies tell me a woman named Viridiana Sovari has bonded a man with a set of compulsive earrings. Given the bond, we expect he will come to the Chantry soon.
I know the girl. She's the talk of the Chantry," Eris said.
"She doesn't matter. Let me be blunt. This man, Kylar, may hold Curoch. We've hired an extremely skilled thief to take it from him. We have reasons to trust our thief, but Kylar is very resourceful. He may track our man down. So as soon as our man steals the sword, he'll signal you by raising two black flags on a fishing boat visible from your room in the Chantry. Check 3 times a day. When you see it, collect the sword and leave the city immediately. The thief is not to see your face or know anything about you, just as you know nothing about him. You'll pay him. He knows how much to expect."
Neff handed her a purse full of Alatiran gold. She looked startled at the weight. Neff was lying to her, of course. He did believe that Kylar had briefly held Curoch, but he'd also seen how Ezra's wood changed on the day that Verdmeister Borsini had gone to his death, trying to take Curoch from Kylar. The Sword of Power was gone. Once something went into the wood, it stayed there. What Neff's thief was trying to steal was a normal sword. With one difference. It had been reported to Neff that Kylar's sword had a black blade. Kylar was hiding his Kakari, the black Kakari, the devourer of magic, on his sword. Neff was certain of it. If he was wrong, he would likely be dead by spring. He was running out of options. The thing he'd thought would be easy had turned out to be viciously difficult. With 200 Verdmeisters, Neff had attacked the weaves Jorsan Alcestis had laid on Black Barrow hundreds of years ago. Even together, they'd only broken the first spell. Now it was possible to use the Veer within the dead domain, the unchanging circle of land around the dome of Black Barrow. Before, anyone using the Veer there would die instantly. It was better progress than anyone before Neff had made, but, in itself,
It accomplished nothing. All the millions of Krull around Black Barrow were still magically sealed. No one could raise them. No one could raise the Titan Neff had found beneath the mighty dome of Black Barrow itself. With Kurok, Jorsen Alkestis had been more powerful alone than Neff was with 200 Verdmeisters. Neff's few successes seemed like nothing. He'd stirred up the wild men in the Freeze. He'd taught their shamans to raise Krull, though he'd deliberately taught them imperfectly, in case he ever had to face them himself. He'd sown rumors about the weakness of the new God King among the Highland tribes. It would be enough to distract the new God King, but not enough for Neff to take the chains of office for himself. The Orsuls had long claimed that only an Orsul could take the Vir from a Meister. That claim had meant the Meisters and Verdmeisters had never been a threat to a true Orsul. Any magic fight would end instantly. Neff had been certain it was a lie. He had staked everything on the belief that once he held Kali, it would be a simple matter to learn to remove the Vir from whomever he wished. But so far, he hadn't even come close. If Neff didn't figure something out soon, any of the Ethlings could show up any day and remove the Vir from Neff himself. There were ways out, but none was likely. If Neff actually recovered Kurok, of course, he could shatter Jorsen's work, and anyone who rose against him, even without the Krull or the Strangers, or Kali. If he could steal the Black Kakari, he could make it devour Jorsen's magics, raise the Krull, and the Krull would crush anyone who rose against him. He could use the Black Kakari to walk into Ezra's wood and steal Kurok and everything else there. His last hope was to raise Kali herself. It had been Kali's wish for as long as she had been worshipped. It was enshrined in every Kalidoran's prayer. Kalevos rasen me. Kali, make your home in me. If Neff could give Kali a body, she would give him everything. Neff was preparing the magic and trying to find a proper host for Kali in case he needed to do it. But it was a last resort. Kali would surely teach him how to deny the Vir to the God King if Neff gave her true embodiment. But if Kali had a body, if she could give him everything, could she not also take everything from him? Neff turned pensive eyes toward Eris. He needed, as always with these arrogant children, to seal the lie.
If it is Kurok, Eris, I'll give you whatever you ask. But there are two things you should know. You have not the power to wield it even for an instant. It will kill you if you try. Second, I will kill you if you try.
His Vir squirmed up and down his arms as he laid a tiny weave on her.
I know you can untie that weave, but one of my other spies at the Chantry will be checking on you. If you tamper with it, she has instructions to kill you. Don't worry, the weave is small enough to escape any but the closest magical examination.
Eris's face paled. It would, of course, be her death if any loyal sister found that weave. But Neff had also revealed that he had another spy close enough to her that the spy could check on the weave regularly.
How likely is it that Kylar has Kurok? She asked.
Not likely. But the prize is worth the possibility of losing you.
A green hue entered her skin.
I want Alatira, she said defiantly. That's my price. If it's Kurok, you'll take Midcryu. I want to be queen of Alatira. I have debts to repay.
Neff pretended to think about it.
Done, he said.